You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. Over the weekend, yes, Mitt Romney met with Donald Trump. I think the meeting went over an hour. It wasn't supposed to, but did. And he was supposedly being considered for Secretary of State. I don't know if that's true. Because of the relationship between Romney and Trump, I can't see it, quite frankly. Although Mitt Romney is impressive in terms of being a Harvard law degree as well as MBA, governor of Massachusetts, as well as a very successful business history in terms of venture capital, and unfortunately for him, failed candidate in 2012. Now, he ran twice. First time, he didn't get the nomination. That's understandable. A lot of people run, never get the nomination. And remember, Donald Trump had to defeat 16 of them to get the nomination. So it's not easy just to get the nomination. I don't hold that against him. But I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. I didn't vote for Barack Obama in 2012. But Mitt Romney, in my mind, always will be a progressive Republican. He's part of the establishment for sure. And I wasn't going to vote for any establishment candidate of the Republican Party, whoever it was. Now, Donald Trump isn't the establishment candidate. He was an outsider. But he met with him. And in preparing this show and reviewing more information on it, a number of people made suggestions, or at least a few, that Mitt Romney would be an excellent Secretary for the Veterans Administration to clean the mess out. Now, I don't know if Mitt Romney would take it, and I'm not even sure Donald Trump would offer him the position. I would have no problem for someone with that business background, and he's familiar with healthcare. Remember, Obamacare was in some extent, not completely, I got to be real careful here, modeled on Romney Care in Massachusetts. Now, I'm not a fan of Obamacare, and I don't know enough about what Mitt Romney did, although I know a little bit. But what a state does not mean that I would blame him for Obamacare. Obamacare was a bad idea. It was designed to really fail and lead to single-payer universal care, in other words, socialized medicine. That's one reason I opposed it. There are many others. But I think, the more I thought about it, I said, let him clean up the mess. He has both the legal skills, the business skills, the experience running a large state, Massachusetts. He's very much a, in my mind, always will be a progressive Republican. He's an interventionist. I would not vote for him. I know why Trump probably wanted to hear his views on what are the threats. Romney said in the debates in 2012 it was Russia. I don't agree with that. I think it's really the big threat is China, and the immediate, and that's both short, intermediate, and long term, and especially long term, but the immediate threat in my mind, is the Islamic Republic of Iran, because if they get nuclear weapons, and I think they already have them, they haven't tested them, and they haven't downsized them so they can put it on missiles, but I think they already have several nuclear weapons. What they lack is getting it downsized so it's smaller, and that is the challenge. And the fact that they haven't tested it, they don't know if it works. So it's a matter of time before that happens, and that means nuclear proliferation throughout the Middle East. I see Iran as the number one immediate threat. We also have the Islamic State. That is a threat, and it needs to be dealt with. But who should be dealing with it? And I've said repeatedly, it is up to the people that really wanted to have a Sunni counter to the Shia in Iraq, and that's Saudi Arabia, and then Qatar, and the Arab Emirates, as well as others, provided some funding, and as well as arms. And now they need to kill it. So it's up to the Sunnis, the Arab Sunnis, to kill the monster that they created. The United States can help. It can provide leadership. It can provide intelligence, training, support, arms. But ultimately, it's the Sunnis, the Arab Sunnis, that have to defeat the Islamic State. And then once that's done, replace it with a Sunni army in Iraq and in Syria to counter who? The Shia. Because right now, in Iraq, the battle for Mosul is still going on, and it's going to be, and I've said it on the show, and it's exactly what's happening. It's going to be literally neighborhood, block by block, building by building, apartment by apartment. And it's not just apartment. It's also tunnels. They are fighting. The Islamic State is fighting an insurgency. It's very much a guerrilla warfare. And they're not going to fight us or our allies, and in this case, Iraq, on our terms. They're going to fight us by terrorist bombings, suicide bombings, and it will be literally apartment by apartment, room by room. You're going to have to kill them, room by room. And that means a lot of people are going to die on both sides. And I don't want, and the American people don't want, the United States to send in its troops to do the job. Stay out of the mess. Don't be a referee or empire in that religious civil war. But I only mention that because Romney, I think if he were elected president, wanted to fight a war in Iran, against Iran. And they are the leading terrorists of the world, and Barack Obama's approach to this was the wrong approach. We had the right approach, even though it was taken forever, or sanctions, squeezing him, and then we let him off the hook. And that's why I was very pleased to see James Mattis, a retired 4-star full general of the Marines, seriously being considered for the position of Secretary of Defense. I think it would be an excellent choice. Everything I've seen, and I've tried been checking him out and listening to some people and listening to what he had to say, I'm very, very impressed with the gentleman, as is Donald Trump. Now, is he the best person for Secretary of Defense? I don't know. I think the key thing is you have to have the confidence of Donald Trump. You're going to have to be loyal to Donald Trump. But when you're talking large departments like this, you're looking for executive talent that can run the Pentagon, in this case, as well as the military, and someone that the military respects. Everyone I've seen deeply respects him. I'm sure most people there are two types of generals, the political generals and the warrior generals. And at some point, even the warrior generals become political generals. General James Mattis is both. And I think he has strong support in Congress, as well as amongst the military, and I think he would be fine. And he has had command positions. And for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the Prompt Pop show is go to my companion blog for the show, which is promptpops.wordpress.com. That's promptpops, prompkpops.wordpress.com. This is a milestone. This is show 800. I'm about 80% where I want to be. Hopefully by show 1,000, and anything after will be on commercial radio as a nationally syndicated show, and I will make sure that happens one way or the other. It might take time to do that, but I'm on, if you will, executing my plan, and I do that every weekday by presenting at least an hour show. Today might be a little short. We have some people that have to go home because of the holidays, and that means the studio is shut down. We must have so-called adult supervision, which means we need to have a faculty member here. So when they go home, I have to shut down the studio. So bear with me. So I haven't planned a long show, but I wanted to give my reaction to both Romney and, it's not a rumor, Trump has met, and there's a video on it, with the general, retired general. He's a good speaker, but what impressed me most might surprise you. Apparently, the general's a reader, so am I, and I have a lot large library, and so does he. Although I don't have quite as large a library as his, because I'm on my second library, but I'm getting up there. He has supposedly over 7,000 books, never been married, no children, and I can understand why, because if you're in the military and the Marines, you are going to be doing a lot of moving around, and you're going to be in combat, especially if you're in the Marines, and he was commanding a battalion, a regiment, a division. And the reason I told you about prompopops.wordpress.com, under my links to this show, and this show will probably be posted by 10 o'clock tonight, maybe a little later, but I try to shoot for 10. I give you a lot of my show prep. In this case, there were a lot of articles of various speeches of General Mattis, as well as testimony in front of Congress, and I was very favorably impressed. And I'm sure Donald Trump has had some time to see some of this, probably not all of it. I would recommend he was a fellow, and I still think he is a fellow, at the Hoover Institute, and was interviewed. Him and Charles Hill, was the diplomat, were interviewed on the Iran deal. I would recommend that's one place to start. But he's a public speaker, likes to give speeches. So at least we have a couple things in mind. I used to give a lot of speeches to professional organizations, and I do have a large library, and I was in the military. I decided not to make it a career. After a little over 5 years in the Air Force, I wasn't a pilot, but I was on my own, learned to fly, but it got a little too expensive and time-consuming. So I salute the choice, but will he be the one? And that's the question. There, usually when you're talking Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, there's going to be at least two or three people that their resume and experience, their skill sets are going to be strong. So it's that intangible, call it chemistry, between Trump and whoever he selects that's rather critical. But he's not going to be a close advisor. He's going to have to run a very large organization. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Obviously, he will be the point of contact with the president and the military. And it's good that he understands the military side, knows, has been a commander. The only negative in my mind is managing a large organization like this. And there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of rivalry between the various services, and right now the issue is limited funding. And you need to very much bring under control spending, and including spending at the Pentagon. And that means he's going to be not very popular, because some weapon systems are going to have to be canceled, others are going to have to be stretched out, and whenever that happens, people are upset. And I didn't see any experience in that area, because the big bucks, well, there are really two areas. One is weapon systems. And when you're in a rebuilding situation, whether it's the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the big dollars go to weapons acquisition. But equally important, and I will say more important, I think the general would agree with that, is training. You need money for training and operations. And that tends to not get the top priority. But it needs to be, especially when you're rebuilding. Now, we're still in wars. And what really needs to be done is an examination of what is the United States strategy. And once you determine that strategy, what's going to be the force structure? And what I'm leading up to is this. The United States today is an empire. I call it the American empire. We're policemen of the world. We have bases in several hundred countries. That's expensive. And to project power abroad is very, very expensive. I bring it up because if you look at the deficits that lead to debt, those are symptoms of what? Out of control government spending. So why military is important, should have, in my mind, the first priority. And we need to undo a lot of the damage that Obama has done to the services by cutting the size of the forces as well as the equipment they have. And then we also have our nuclear forces that really need to be modernized. This is very much a budget management type situation, executive position, where you have a number of departments Army, Navy, Air Force, fighting for budget authorizations and appropriations for various systems. And someone is going to have to make the tough decisions. What is going to have the top priority? And it takes years to first develop a weapon system and another decade of actually producing it. I am talking about this because my military experience, I spent 5 years, I didn't request this. I was just ordered to go to Dayton, Ohio, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I didn't have an idea at all what my assignment was going to be. I'd attended graduate school. I was working on a PhD in economics from the University of California, Berkeley, and was given orders to report to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the F-15 Systems Program Office, where I went. I knew nothing about systems management, nothing about the F-15, even though I was in the Air Force, because I was focused in on really completing all the requirements and hopefully getting my PhD, which I never did. I got a master's degree, but never completed my doctoral dissertation. I did defend it, though, which is a little bit, some people, that's normally not the situation. Usually defend your thesis after it's completed. Berkeley, at that time, had a different system, and I think a very wise system of you having to do a review of the literature, set forth your hypothesis or what you're going to research and defend it, because they didn't want you to waste a lot of time on something that wasn't going to result in anything. And many people said to me, it's a very ambitious project if you can pull it off. And I bring that up because the general, why has the military experience, which is important. What we're talking about here is executive experience managing the largest organization in the world. And they have a huge budget. And it's important. And that department has the biggest budget. And we're in a situation where resources are scarce. We need to be downsizing the federal government. Now, I didn't say downsizing in the Department of Defense. But Donald Trump has made clear that he wants to increase defense spending. But he's really not spelled out what he really wants to do. And he's going to have an executive managing this, and except for the most difficult decisions, making a lot of decisions. This is very much delegation of very key decisions, and you got to have real confidence in the individual. I don't know who the other candidates are. We'll learn if there are any other up-and-coming ones. I think we probably won't learn on this until after Thanksgiving. There's no rush here, and I think Donald Trump is entitled to have his team. I keep saying that for a reason. That has been the tradition, and I agree with it. Unless there's some really ethical issue that precludes someone to have a post, and in this case, it isn't, because believe you me, even if you're a general, there are background checks, and that's not a problem with him. He's going to have the highest security clearances around. He has a record, and the only negative, and I don't consider this a negative, he was retired early, about 3 months early, by Obama. In essence, Obama fired him. Normally, you keep them on to their designated date of retirement. You got to put in your papers. He was critical of the foreign policy of Barack Obama, and specifically in regards to Iran. So am I. So is most people, except the people that work in the White House now. And that's going to change. I am very much impressed with the general. He speaks well. He connects with the audience. And I can see why Donald Trump was equally impressed. But is he the best person for the job? That's Mr. Trump's decision, or President-elect Trump's decision. It's a very important decision. I say the two key, actually there are three right now. One is going to be the Secretary of Defense, then the Secretary of State, and Treasury, because we have massive deficits, a massive debt, and a fourth one would be the Budget Director, because we have to get spending under control. And I've yet to see the person that's going to be delegated that task, and it's something you really can't delegate. It's up to the president to decide which way he's going to go. You got to determine priorities, and I think we're quickly facing a situation where a number of departments have to be permanently closed, and that's going to be fought by both the Democrats and the Republicans, the bureaucracy and the press. So if the general gets picked for the job, I wish him well. The Trump administration, in waiting, is somewhat ahead of where most people have been, but they're doing a very deliberate process, and they shouldn't be rushed, and Donald Trump should take his time. And I'm assuming he's asking people, do you have anyone in mind? Because sometimes there are some outstanding people that simply get overlooked. And that's why you have to ask people. And, for example, I was listening to talk radio today, and at least it was a reporter that covers the Defense Department. He was very complimentary in terms of the general. I'll be candid. I'm not a Marine. I'm Air Force, but I've been out of the service many, 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 many years. So I didn't know him, but I've become quickly up to speed. But I'm sure there are other people, and maybe some people that are even more impressive. You see, you have to want the job, and it is very much a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week job, and it would be hard on anyone. Now, he doesn't have a family. That means he can spend more time on the job, but I have mixed reactions to that because I think you need time away from the job and spend that wisely, and reading is one of the things you need to be doing. You need to get other points of view, other perspectives, and I think over the years, he was in the Marines for a very, very long time, from 1969 to 2013 when he retired. That is a long time, even for a general. Now, my hero, and that's probably the wrong word, the gentleman I'm most impressed with, that was a five-star general and Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State, was General George Marshall. That's the one general I'm most impressed with. He was not perfect. And he did impress Franklin Roosevelt. And he did recommend to President Harry Truman that General MacArthur be relieved. Now, I'm not going to get into that history, but of all the generals in my lifetime, that is the general I'm most impressed with. And yes, the Marshall Plan is named after him. He gave a speech at Harvard outlining it. I believe at a graduation ceremony. Pushed it through Congress. Is General Mattis in the same league as George Marshall? Maybe. We won't know unless he gets the position. I guess what is important, I know that Islam is a threat, a big threat, and so does the general. And he has that in common with some of the people that Trump has already picked, especially for his national security advisor. That had a background. He was a three-star army general that Donald Trump has now appointed as his national security advisor. And again, the key ingredient here is the ability of working with Donald Trump, having the confidence of Donald Trump, and getting results. Donald Trump is very much results-oriented. So whoever he appoints better do a good job. I don't think this general is going to disappoint him. He'll tell it the way it is, though. And that's very, very important. You got to be willing to tell the President of the United States the bad news in private, not in public. And Donald Trump has to be able to understand that. What I'm afraid of, and what's key here, is there's a political aspect to this. Yes, Iran is the leading sponsor of terrorism, the Islamic Republic of Iran. The mullahs are not, the ruling regime is not popular at all in Iran. At some point, it will be overthrown. But the difficulty there is most of the weapons are controlled by the regime. Historically, the way the United States has handled these situations is to use the CIA to undermine and overthrow the regime, and they did that in Iran, successfully, on the cheap. And that has, in a way, a bad precedent, because since then, it's done it many dozens of times, many unsuccessfully, a few successful. In other words, it's the CIA, not military, that tries to overthrow regimes. But where they fail or they don't work, it can easily escalate where then the military is brought in. I think that whole practice needs to be examined, because that is the big temptation. Democrats and Republicans, I think, fall in that trap. Obama didn't want boots on the ground. You used to always say that, no boots on the ground. What he was saying is no military boots on the ground. First of all, it wasn't true. There were boots on the ground. CIA boots on the ground, CIA contractors on the ground, and our allies were on the ground. That's just blowing smoke. You don't believe me? What do you think Benghazi was about? We had nearly three dozen CIA agents in Benghazi, case officers and contract employees working for the CIA, doing what? Gathering weapons to ship to Syria, supposedly the Free Syrian Army, and they were attacked and four were killed. See, the temptation of using covert operations is they ideally will never be known, and they may or may not succeed, and they won't confirm or deny it. Although in the Benghazi case, they haven't confirmed or denied it, but there's enough evidence there that it's clear what the CIA was doing, But what has not been done, and that's my biggest complaint about the House Select Committee on Benghazi, they should have had at least one, if not two or three, CIA people that were there testifying as to what happened. They're in the best position. They knew what the mission was. Now, they probably testified in executive sessions. I don't know that for a fact, and they're not telling it. But the American people need to know when something goes very wrong. You need to learn from your mistakes. And the American people need to know it was a mistake and why it was a mistake. We haven't really done that. The focus was on the State Department, on Hillary Clinton, when the congressman knows, the president knows, so does Hillary Clinton. It was the other agency, namely the Central Intelligence Agency. They were in the lead in this. The only thing that Ambassador Chris Stevens was doing was providing diplomatic cover, and he was leading it. He was involved in the shipment of arms. And that's what went wrong. I'm not going to revisit Benghazi, but I'm bringing it up because Trump has appointed a congressman, a graduate of West Point, first in his class, a Harvard lawyer. And I always have alarm bells every time. You notice a lot of Harvard lawyers seem to be involved, or Yale lawyers, in, let us say, less than stellar results. Anyway, Trump has appointed Mike Pompeo. I still don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, as a CIA director. He probably knows more than a lot of people as to what happened in Benghazi because he sat on the committee. But the American people don't really know what the true story is. And that's been deliberately kept, and I think covered up, by this administration and Hillary Clinton. They know what happened, or didn't happen. But if we're going to continue the American empire, and I'm not a fan of it, and a decision needs to be made on that, I'm not optimistic there. There are too many very powerful people that want the American empire to continue. Defense contractors, the military, people that supply various weapon systems, armaments, supplies, logistics. The American empire is a big business. And we have, scattered across the Middle East, but in other countries, warehouses full of pre-positioned assets filled with equipment, arms, ammunition, to fight various conflicts, even wars, in the Middle East, as well as throughout the world. All that is expensive. None of this is cheap. I'm for an American republic and a strong national defense, but I'm not for an American empire, and I'm not for a military force structure as well as strategy where that's the goal. I don't know where General Mattis stands on this. But empires, and he's read his history, ultimately decline and fall because they overreach. In other words, the economic resources are simply not there to both supply the military what it needs to accomplish its mission. And you got to understand, and the general makes this point, what are you trying to do? What is the goals? That's the first thing you got to establish. What are the goals? What are we trying to accomplish? And many times, that's not stated. Rather odd, but it isn't. Why are we there? What is the national interest? Should this be the national interest? That's why it's important that not only whoever the Secretary of Defense is, but also who the Secretary of State are, be able to work together and have some agreement. Doesn't mean they're going to agree on everything, and there's always going to be rivalry between two departments and turf wars, even though there shouldn't be. There will be. And I'm not clear, and that's my problem with Donald Trump, what he wants to do. And my biggest criticism of it, he has really not addressed the fact that government spending is out of control. His answer, or his advisor's answer, is we're going to grow our way out of it. Maybe. But I'm more than skeptical. It's not going to happen because when you have an overwhelming problem that ripples through every department, and that's out of control spending, and you don't deal with it, it just gets worse, worse, and worse. And one of the departments by far, especially in a discretionary area, is the Department of Defense. There are people that would want, we need to build our Navy, our Army, and Air Force right back to where it was at the height of the Cold War. Well, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, even with Donald Trump, and even with control of the House of the Senate. So Donald Trump has to be articulate as to what he wants to do, and how is he going to go about it. Oh, there's a long line, not only for the secretarial positions, the deputy positions, the assistant secretary positions of all these departments. And most of these people live in Washington or the surrounding suburbs and really don't appreciate where this money's coming from, and it's coming from the American people. And they don't think they've been well served by the presidents, Bush and Obama, as well as the House and the Senate during these years. They haven't been doing their jobs very well. That's why by January or maybe February, the national debt will be over $20 trillion. And we'll be on our way to another $500, $600, maybe $700 billion deficit for fiscal year 2017. What I'm leading up to is we're missing something. And this is about the third show I've been on this, but I keep emphasizing because I'm not seeing anything. Not that I should, and I'm patient. I'm willing to wait. Remember, there's over 4,000 jobs that have to be filled, but there are about 40 or 50 rather critical ones. And those people should be more or less free to bring in who they want. And there's going to have to be vetting, and there's going to have to be FBI background checks. And you want to get the best people. But just because someone is bright, the best and the brightest, doesn't mean they're wise. Doesn't mean they're virtuous. I always say, I want the best and brightest, but more important, are they virtuous and wise? Because we've had some very, very bright people holding the Secretary of State job, the Secretary of Defense, and we've had some people that have been incompetent. They didn't do a good job. So on paper, they looked very good, had the right degrees, had the right experience, had some executive or command experience. But the nature of the position changes as you get higher and higher. There are different skills involved. Because fundamentally, you're relying on other people to do their jobs well. And if they do, then you do your job well. And to the extent that they don't, it reflects on you. And many times, people, it's called the Peter Principle, they rise to their level of incompetence. They've been good, 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 and suddenly they're promoted to a job and they don't have some of the necessary skills and talents to succeed. And usually, the problem is they lose the support of the very people they're losing. That doesn't mean they're popular, and that's important. You don't necessarily have to be popular to be effective, but you can't lose the confidence of the people working for you and their loyalty. And that happens. Where the president might have confidence in that secretary, the people in the department don't. They don't respect them. That's why it's important to really check out the candidates. Take your time. If Donald Trump takes to January 20th to finally name his cabinet, I don't think he will. That's fine with me. Because if you appoint the wrong person, especially to a key job, to undo that decision, you're losing time. And we don't have time anymore. We've been wasting time. We've been wasting over 8 years. I would say more than that. Not dealing with the pressing problems that the United States of America has. And on the federal level, the metric is government spending is out of control. Now, there are a lot of reasons why. And there's a lot of blame that can go around. And should go around. But everything depends on who that president is. If they don't make it a priority, and I've already said it, let's say Donald Trump gets a second term, wants a second term, gets a second term. If he doesn't focus on this, we'll have a national debt probably of $50 trillion, more than double. You need a sense of urgency first. You need vision. But most importantly, you need to understand the problem and what needs to be done about it, appoint people that have your vision and have the courage to do it, where everyone will be fighting you. The bureaucracy departments will be fighting you, so will Congress, so of both parties and the media. You have to deal with reality. You have to be reality-based as well as results-based. And we have people that aren't. They live in a world that they believe the lies of media. They don't deal with the evidence, don't want to deal, don't know the evidence, don't want to deal with it. They've already made up their mind. It's called invincible ignorance. Don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. And more or less, that's what we've had for 8 years. And if Hillary Clinton was elected, we'd have it for another 4 years or 8 years. So Donald Trump has a challenge in front of him, his biggest challenge in his entire life. And it will crucially depend on his selection of the best, the brightest, the virtuous, and wisest. And even that, they don't necessarily succeed. Keep that in mind. And that includes presidents. We've had many people, well, if you follow history, both Jefferson and Madison, especially their second terms, were not good presidents. Most people don't know that, but if you follow history, that's more or less the consensus. It's not that they were not good people. They were certainly bright and brilliant, and I think virtuous and wise, but they weren't up to the job. They couldn't execute, and that's what we need. Some people are impressed with degrees from colleges. Some people are impressed with ribbons. Some people are impressed with ranks. But I found that many times the troops know whether the person is for real or not, if you can find that out. So if Donald Trump appoints General Mattis, James Mattis, as his defense secretary, looks real good. But if there are two or three other people, take your time, Mr. Trump, and whoever is advising him. Because sometimes it's that intangible element that either is there or is not there. Oh, there are many people that want the status and the title of Secretary of Defense. And we've had some great ones, but we've also had some mediocre ones. I just got the signal from my adult supervision that I have to close it down, but I'll briefly mention the second story, and we don't know enough about it. I'll continue tomorrow. The press today, the television executives, the anchors were invited, sort of a command performance, to greet and meet Mr. Trump at Trump Tower. And we have some videos of them on my companion site. We don't know exactly yet what was said. I think it was to try to clear the air and at least start afresh, call it a reset button. Yep. Press the reset button before they went down. Again, no stories have come out. They'll be out by tomorrow. They can't keep their mouths shut. But there's some speculation. I'm going to hesitate. I think this is really very much to meet him. Shake hands, have a brief conversation, and let Donald Trump says what he wants to say, and that's what we don't know yet. And Donald Trump is headed for Thanksgiving down to Florida. So tomorrow we'll learn more details, and I'll have an update then. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.